It was greatly influenced by the writings of a 19th century occultist, Madame Helena Petrovna Blavatsky. He was reported to have slept with a copy of her book, The Secret Doctrine, by his bedside. Blavatsky founded the Theosophical Society with Henry Alcott in 1875. The swastika itself was taken from the logo of the Theosophical Society. Even this connection was noticed by the History Channel in a recent documentary.
One of the occult doctrines that would foreshadow Nazism was spelled out for the whole world in an unlikely place by an unlikely writer. Living in London is a Russian aristocrat turned best-selling author named Madame Helena Blavatsky. In more than 1,000 pages, Blavatsky rewrites the history of the world from the creation to the present. Her story is based on unconventional sources: Babylonian astrology, Egyptian hieroglyphics, and a mishmash of the occult.
So if Blavatsky had such a profound influence, what did she believe? Mussolini, Mao, Stalin, and many others seemingly rise to power in a political and philosophical vacuum. At least, that is how our schools present these events. Is this true, or is there a pattern laid in a planned direction? Is there a plan for the current direction of our world? We shall have world government, whether or not we like it. The only question is whether world government will be achieved by conquest or consent. James Warburg, 1950. Bush has had the knowledge in the background and has had the posts. As president, he will be in a better position than anyone else to pull together the people in the country who believe that we are in fact living in a one world and we have to act that way. David Rockefeller on George H.W. Bush, 1988.
Before us, the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founder.
We're living through exceptionally difficult times. The financial crisis and its dramatic impact on employment and budgets, the climate crisis which threatens our very survival. A period of anxiety, uncertainty, and lack of confidence.
At his first press conference as the new president, or the appointee, Mr. Van Rompuy declared that the Copenhagen process would be a step towards the global management of our planet.
Yet these problems can be overcome by a joint effort in and between our countries. 2009 is also the first year of global governance with the establishment of the G20 in the middle of the financial crisis.
Told that when we had a president, we'd see a giant global political figure. The man that would be the political leader for 500 million people. The man that would represent all of us on the world stage. The man whose job was so important that, of course, you're paid. The question that I want to ask, that we're all going to ask, is who are you? I'd never heard of you. Nobody in Europe.
That they're ready or not.
Did you mean an external?
That what we call God should be called Satan. And the serpent is actually our good friend.
The following is taken from Constant Combe's book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. From pages 114 to 120, she details many similarities between the Nazi movement and the New Age. They include some of the following. Quote, Nazism taught the doctrine of Arianism and Aryan purity, that the New Age would feature an Aryan mutant master race. The New Age movement teaching stressed the doctrine of Arianism and Aryan purity. See especially Alice A. Bailey's writings and the writings of David Spangler. Nazism featured hatred of Jews and an ancient occult doctrine of a blood taint resting on the Jews, and that there was a need for a final correct solution to this Jewish problem. The secret doctrine of occultism features hatred of the Jews, the writings of Alice Bailey, which have been followed meticulously by the New Age movement, state that the new Messiah will not be Jewish, as the Jews have forfeited their privilege, and that they must pass through the fires of purification in order to learn humility. These teachings are also strongly opposed to Zionism and the possession of a homeland by the Jewish people. These teachings also state that what happened to the Jewish people in World War II was a result of their bad national karma. Nazism featured the quest for the Holy Grail as a path to transcendental or higher consciousness. The New Age movement features the quest for the Holy Grail as a path to transcendental or higher consciousness. Hitler used mescaline to speed up consciousness expansion. The use of drugs as a catalyst in consciousness expansion has long been a part of the New Age movement. The Nazis thought that they had evolved into a new and superior species by means of spiritual disciples and consciousness evolution. The New Agers think they have evolved into a new and superior species, Homo Noeticus, as opposed to Homo sapiens by means of spiritual disciples and consciousness evolution. Hitler was an initiate of occult practices, including yoga, Tibetanism, hypnosis, and the secret doctrine of Elena Petrovna Blavatsky and the Tibetan masters. Benjamin Krem says that the Maitreya the Christ is a seventh degree initiate. Entrance into the New Age requires a Luciferic initiation. The Nazis believed in the law of karma and reincarnation. The New Agers also believe in the law of karma and reincarnation. Nazism sought the institution of a new world order.
In the mystery schools, they refer to this mystical time coming out of the heat of the fruit of this tree. And if you do, you will surely not die, but shall become as gods. Isn't that true?
New World Order researcher William T. Still stated the following. Illuminism is really the religion of a benevolent, mythical Lucifer, not Satan. It is disguised as political idealism, bent on eradicating religion and monarchies in general, and Christianity in particular, and gaining global control for Commonwealth nations, featuring universal democracy. To the secret societies, Lucifer trying to keep knowledge away from man. The same scenario was repeated in the Garden of Eden, when the snake explained to Adam and Eve that God didn't want them to have knowledge.
Those that know best, the visions of the anointed ones, are obsessed with the occult, from presidents to governors to the heads of industry. You see, for over 120 plus years in Northern California, in Sonoma County, on a 2,700 acre secluded redwood grove, leaders from around the world, prime ministers, chancellors, presidents, governors, again, the heads of industry, banking, academia, the media, Hollywood, only a select few, a little over 2,000 people, traveled there to engage in bizarre, ancient Canaanite, Luciferian, Babylon mystery religion ceremonies.
All mortal wisdom, owl of Bohemia, we beseech thee, grant us thy counsel.
Membership in the Grove is by invitation only and is determined by such factors as social standing, occupation, and personal connections. Privacy is one of the Grove's most cherished virtues.
Members may not photograph, record, speak, or write about activities at the retreat. While many public officials are Grove members, the press is a distinctly unwelcome guest.
We're from ABC News.
Well, get back there. Get back there.
Can we talk to somebody in the...
Get back there.
To test this assertion, we will now look at many prominent and leading members of various factions of what many refer to as the New World Order. Albert Pike was a 33rd degree Mason, who was also known as the Plato of Freemasonry. One of the offices Albert Pike held within Freemasonry includes Sovereign Grand Commander of the Sovereign Council of Grand Sovereign Inspectors General of the 33rd degree. He was also believed to be the highest Mason in the United States in his day by many researchers.
Probably the most honored Mason in American history. His name is General Albert Pike. And this guy is one of two Masons who has the honor of being buried in the House of the Temple in Washington, D.C. You will have a lot of Masons try and tell you, because if you read Albert Pike's material, you will find out that he's an antichrist, that he's a Luciferian, that he mocks Christianity, that he denies the virgin birth, that he denies the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he calls the early Christian fathers dunces. This is all in Morals and Dogma, the book which is virtually the Bible of the Scottish Rite.
In his book, Morals and Dogma, he states the following in regard to Lucifer. He later asserts the following in relation to Satan. For the initiates, this is not a person, but a force, created for good, by which we may serve for evil. It is the instrument of liberty or free will. They represent this force, which presides over the physical generation, under the mythologic and horned form of the god Pan. Thence came the he-goat of the Sabbat, brother of the ancient serpent, and the light-bearer, or phosphor, of which the poets have made the false Lucifer of the legend. Who this Lucifer was, the Lucifer of Freemasonry, and the Christian researcher and author Dave Hunt commented in his book, Occult Invasion, that Satanist leader Michael Aquinas stated with conviction on the Oprah Winfrey Show, "We are not servants of some god, we are our own gods." In at least partial agreement, Kenneth Copeland and Paul Crouch, like Shirley MacLaine, insist on TVN that they are indeed gods. "You are a little god," declared Copeland and Benny Hinn on TVN. "I am a little god," exalts Paul Crouch on international television, and condemns to hell the heresy hunters who say this teaching isn't biblical.
I am God. I am... Look, if I'm God, what does that make you?
Well, we always see in others what we see in ourselves. I am God. I am God.
I am God.
I am God.
I am God. I am God.
I am God.
Now, Albert Pike, who's probably the most famous Freemason of all time, he was a Mason who simultaneously occupied three different positions. He was the head of Washington, D.C. Masonry, he was the head of American Masonry, and he was the head of World Masonry. Albert Pike wrote the book Morals and Dogma. It was published in 1871, and is used in all Scottish Rite initiations to explain the Crass philosophy. It's been called the most important book of Freemasonry. It's been called the Bible of Freemasonry, and it's given to every fourth degree Mason, this book. And it's also recommended in every issue of the Scottish Rite Journal. Each month it recommends to get and read Morals and Dogma. Albert Pike says in Morals and Dogma, quote, "The Mason is familiar with the doctrine that the Supreme Being is a center of light." Now, what is this light that the Masons are talking about? The answer can be found on page 321 of Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike. Quote, "Lucifer, the light bearer, Lucifer, the son of the morning, is it he who bears the light? Doubt it not," end quote. And on page 324, he repeats the thought.
When you're presented before the high priest, a sword is held against your chest, and you actually take a blood oath, promising to remain faithful to the secrets of witchcraft.
Well, when you are in the room, this blindfold is taken away from you, and this is a time when they say that you're coming from darkness into light.
During the initiation ceremony, the
craft was that we would always end any spell or ritual where we released the power, this is where the power was released, with the word, "So mote it be."
I was intrigued to discover that witchcraft and Freemasonry had so much in common. However, in white witchcraft, followers dismiss the biblical concept of Lucifer. Freemasonry goes so far as to actually call Lucifer God. In the words of Sovereign Pontiff of Universal Freemasonry, Albert Pike, "Yes, Lucifer is God, and unfortunately, Adonai, the Hebrew God of the Bible, is also God, and the true and pure philosophical religion is the belief in Lucifer, the equal of Adonai, but Lucifer, God of light and God of good, is struggling for humanity against Adonai, the God of darkness and evil." Listen to the words of 33rd degree Mason Manly P. Hall. "When the Mason learns that the key to the warrior on the block is the proper application of the dynamo living power, he has learned the mystery of his craft. The seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands, and before he may step onward and upward, he must prove his ability to properly apply this energy." Of the literally millions of Masons worldwide, how many of them are actually aware of the true meaning of the Masonic symbols? The answer is very few. Since most Masons never go past the third degree of the Blue Lodge, the rank of Master Mason, the vast majority of them never discover what they're involved in. And they never will discover what Freemasonry is all about unless they venture into the higher levels of the Scottish Rite or the York Rite. In fact, they're not just ignorant, they're deliberately misled by their superiors in the Lodge. In the words of Masonry's own authority, Albert Pike, "The blue degrees are but the outer court or portico of the temple. Part of the symbols are displayed there to the initiate, but he is intentionally misled by false interpretations. It is not intended that he shall understand them, but it is intended that he shall imagine that he understands them."
Many Masons go through the first three degrees, become a Master Mason, and they just quit there, thinking that this is just a nice fraternal organization. And they do not realize that their own leaders have consciously lied and deceived to them because they do not want them to know the true teachings of Masonry.
I went in there with all good intentions, thinking I was entering into a fraternity that was really interested in helping people. But now I realize that in the lower echelons, in the lower degrees, you don't realize what's happening.
Well, the meaning of the Lodge and what it was about to me was a group of people who were out to help other people, and there were different things that you could see in the Lodge. The people were close together, they were bound by something, and I thought it was a Christian organization.
What made one think that the Lodge was a Christian place was the fact that I found people who were members of the same church to which I belong, the Presbyterian Church in Canada, were members of the Lodge, members in prominent positions in the Lodge. And the fact that these members in their rituals used quotations from Scripture sort of doubly made one think that it was okay.
They think that they are actually being initiated into a Christian organization. And it's because the three degrees in the Blue Lodge are veiled in a veneer of Christianity.
Jesus Christ is to say that Jesus Christ is simply another great moral teacher, another great moral prophet, equal with Buddha. In fact, Masons teach, according to Albert Pike, that Buddha was the first great Masonic teacher. So they're equating Jesus with Buddha, with Muhammad, with the religious leaders, as just another religious leader. He is not God. He is not the incarnate Savior who came to save men from their sins, because Masons do not need a Savior. Masons feel they can save themselves through moral good deeds. In the law.